Hello, 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 Gospel for Grampian listeners. Welcome to Yellow on Air. Thank you so much for tuning in. Thank you so much for gracing us with the beauty of your listening skills. Because you know what? Today, we have a thought-provoking topic that we are going to talk about. But before I can even get into it, let me start by thanking the Lord God Almighty for bringing us here today, because it's always a blessing that you will have to sit down, tune in, and listen to us. Always thank God for the breath that you have. Always thank God for everything that you have today, and say, Holy Spirit, thank you so much. So now, before we can even speak about this topic, I'll tell you why is this my favorite topic, right? Before we can get into it, because you know me, I like jumping into things. If a train is moving, you'll see me right in there. But no, before we go any further, I'm accompanied by two beautiful ladies. You know, it's always the case, the Trinity, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Even last week, it was the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Even today, is the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. And I am accompanied by beautiful Angelina and Serge, who are going to introduce themselves before we can even dig deep into this beautiful topic that we have today. Let me start with Angelina. Angelina, hello, how are you?
Hi, beautiful Gospel for Grampian Yellow listeners. It is so exciting to join the Yellow team today. I'm from Women of Africa Care on Air Show. So I am so excited to submit to Masejo, and I'm not a youth, but I believe that I can put my shoe in a youth because I used to be a youth. So I'm very excited.
Thank you so much. You know what I like about the Holy Spirit? It does not have age expiry date. You know, it does not have production time date or production history. You know, we are all eternal. One way or the other, we are all eternal. Hallelujah. And now let's speak to Serge. Serge, hi, how are you? Hello, Serge.
Hi. Hello, everyone. Thank you so much, Masejo. I'm so glad to be here today. Another week. So I'm so excited. Thank you.
Thank you so much. As you've heard, the Gospel for Grampian listeners, our beautiful ladies are excited, top of the evening. They are very excited to be here today. And we are going to talk about a beautiful topic, the life of Joseph, life as a young adult. The reason why I'm saying this is my favorite topic, it's because, guess what? Joseph is my second name. And this name was given to me by God. I know, right? Wow. This name was given to me by God. And I remember when we got this topic, I said, Holy Spirit, I know for a fact you've been preparing me my whole life for this day. Because I remember while I was in primary school in that year, you know that year, the Holy Spirit year, when I was in primary school. And I was sitting down, and I remember that was back in the days in South Africa, part of the syllabus was the Bible studies. And our teacher at school used to read the Bible, and they would read it in my native language. For some odd reason, I could understand it. Because to be honest, I don't really speak my native language that well. Neither do I understand it that well. But they were reading the Bible in my native language, and I was able to listen to it. And then the teacher would say, Masejo, please interpret this to our fellow learners so that they can understand it. Then I would take the Bible language and put it into a kid's language, and my fellow learners within the same class were able to understand. Because not only was I explaining it, I was acting it as well. And I remember the last day we had this, it was the Holy Spirit year, and I was sitting there on my desk, and the teacher was reading it. Something puzzled me, because that was the only time I did not understand what was said to me. I did not get it. And at that time, it was the part where the brothers of Joseph went and they killed an animal, and they smeared blood on the cloak that his father Israel bought for him. And then they sent it back and said, Joseph has died. It didn't make sense to me. I'm like, wait. And the teacher kept on saying, Masejo, please narrate the story. And I said, teacher, are you sure? And my teacher says, yes, I'm sure. And I'm like, they killed him, those evil brothers. Now you want me to come and interpret and tell the learners that Joseph was killed by his own brothers? That's not fair. And the teacher says, no, but that's what the Bible is saying. Like, speak the truth. You are reading something from somewhere. There's no way. And can you believe that was the last day that South Africa had Bible study in school? Last day. It was the last time we read the Bible, the last time we spoke about the Bible, the last time. And that's when everything in the country just went downhill. Mm-hmm. Because when you take God outside the running of the country. Remember, God owns everything. He owns parliament, government, businesses, whatever you name it. They're all in God's hands. When you start taking God or the knowledge of God out of it, that's where problems begin. Now, the nicest thing about what I just said now is that Joseph found himself where? In parliament, sitting with who? With Potiphar, sitting with Pharaoh, making decisions about the Egyptians, people that he himself is not even part of. Right. So now, before I can even start asking the ladies to engage more on this topic, let us contextualize this whole story that we're going to talk about. Remember, Joseph was a child. I don't want to call it a love child, but then he was a child from a couple that loved each other very well. Remember Rachel, Israel. I'll call him Israel because that's the name that God gave him. Rachel, Israel. Remember, they loved each other. And because of Joseph was born out of Israel's old age, he loved him dearly. Then obviously, if Joseph loves the son like this, the rest of the brothers are not going to love him equally so, right? Now, Joseph in his mind, he thinks that he was naive. Let me use those words. He was very naive because he thought that he was in a very happy setup environment, tending to the flocks at his teenage years. He was 17 years, I think he was 17 years old when he was looking after the flock for his father. And he would come back and tattletale like any other younger brother. You know, if you're a last born in the family, you are the biggest problem ever. We know that. Sesh, are you part of the biggest problems we're talking about? Are you also a problem?
Hmm. Oh, not at all. Very far from that.
Last buns. You wish you could put them in a basket and just ship them away. Look, there are these people, honestly. That was Joseph. And it irritated his brothers. It really, really irritated his brothers. Until this other day, God gave him a dream. And then God said to him, here's a dream. The sheaves, 11 of them, will bow down to you. Now, as a brother, thinking, this small boy, what does he know about this planet Earth? I've been here for a long time, you know. Like, I've been around. All the flocks that you see that my dad has been acquiring, now you're sitting in wealth, probably in a tent made with paddles and some fairy lights. It's because I was here. I can imagine Judah and Andrew saying that. I was here before you. What do you know? Then obviously they were struck by utmost jealousy because of Joseph's naiveness. And he couldn't, in his head, he couldn't comprehend why his brothers hate him like that. Because in his head, he just thought, oh no, this is my family. You know, I love them. Just like that, I described myself. Just like that, I described myself. Now, Angeline, Joseph was, I call it naive when he shared the dream to his brothers, right? And he spoke about the future. He spoke about what he sees. In his mind, I don't think so. You correct me if I'm wrong. In fact, let's talk about this. I don't think when he shared this, he thought he was speaking about the future that there is to come. In his mind, as a teenager, he thought his brother's sheaves are the ones that are bowing down at his feet, not his brother's. What do you think?
I don't think he was naive.
Okay.
And I think we all have our opinion, right? But yes. I don't think he was naive. And why I thought that was I used to think he was naive and he's still a teenager and he's bragging and boasting. But when you read the account of he was 17 when all of this happened, where he shared his dreams to his brothers and he shared his dream to his dad. And then when they threw him into the pit. Not long after that, the Midianites called. He was sold, and then he went off to Potiphar's house. But notice what happened at Potiphar's house. The minute he got to Potiphar's house, the word of God says the Lord was with him. And imagine he was a slave, right? If we are saying that he was uncultured and he was naive, etc., going into Potiphar's house as a slave, he would not have found favor to live in the house with Potiphar, because the Bible says he lived in the main house and he'd already received favor and the Lord was with him. That's telling me he was mature. That's telling me he was mature and that he understood the dream. And that's telling me that God purposely made him share the dream, because when you go to the end of the story, when his brothers come to him, he says, no, you didn't do anything. You had to do that for me to get here. You had to be provoked for me to get here. So when he was sharing the dream, he was sharing the future of where Israel was going to be in Egypt. So I definitely don't think it was immaturity. I believe that the Lord allowed him to share that. But you asked the question.
Do you think his interpretation of the dream was the actual sheaves? Because remember, they had farms, then they would bundle up sheaves and to take home. So is it that in his head, in your opinion, was he interpreting the dream as that was my brother's sheaves, or that was my brothers that were bowing down before me?
I believe he was saying it was his brothers. It was his brothers because of the fact that I believe he was mature enough, because if he wasn't mature enough, we would have seen that play out in Potiphar's house. Because notice when he went from Potiphar's house, even into prison, the maturity was there because the leaders knew what to do with him. So I don't think he was immature. No.
Okay. So he was not naive, but he knew. So basically he bragged about the dreams he had, because there were two dreams that he had.
Yes.
So the one was about the sheaves, and the other one was about?
It was about the sun, the moon, and the 11 stars, which relates to his parents and his brothers.
His parents and his brothers. Oh, interesting. Yes. Gospel for Grampians. You know, I love it when we talk about the Bible in this way. Because the word of God says the word of God is active. It's alive. It's sharper than any double-edged sword, meaning that it is in your hearing, it is fulfilled. And today we are discussing about the life of Joseph. We're discussing about what was written by God himself concerning these people. Because remember, Israel is part of the promise that God made to Abraham. I'll get to that later. That God made to Abraham. So now, Angelina, the family setup that Joseph had. He had 11 siblings. He was the 12th, right? Two moms, two surrogate moms, and his mom happened to be his dad's favorite, right? And this whole blended family that they have, do you think it contributed to the jealousy that the brother had over him? You know, do you think it contributed to that? Well, but to be honest, it's fair, right? It's only fair.
In the carnal mindset, it's fair, mm-hmm. because you've got many parents and many moms, one dad, and everybody wants the love of the father, because you need the love of a father in a home, right? Mm-hmm. And now you're sitting with the brothers that are saying, my mom's rejected by dad, and now we rejected by dad. So they're angry with Joseph, but mm-hmm. they are God's family. We are God's family. I come from a blended family. And I had blended issues like Joseph and like his siblings. So my own family, my husband, my three children, and I are blended. My argument to the Lord is, Lord, but we are all your family. So any Christian is God's family. That means we are all blended, because we are blended with God. And I believe that if we all get our relationship right with the Father, with God, then we will not have blended issues. It's not normal. It's not supposed to be like that. We are talking about Joseph and his family, Jacob that made the covenant with God in two places. If he made a covenant with God, that means all his wives and all his children are one family. They're the family of God. It was never supposed to happen. But what you and I are seeing is they're behaving like the world. They're behaving like a carnal world where there's no adoption. We are an adopted family of God. How on earth can I go and love people in the church that's my adopted family, yet I have an adopted family through marriage and I can't cope? It's a heart issue.
It is. You know, and well, I think if we go back, let's take it back to his father-in-law, the father to Rachel and Leah. Remember, I always say this is God's free choice. And when you read the Bible like you're reading a story, most people think that Leah was not supposed to happen in the first place, right? But Leah was supposed to happen, because we need the 12 tribes of Israel in any case. And the 12 tribes of Israel comes from this. And it was God's free choice that though Leah is not loved by the husband, I'll give her many children and this one will struggle. That was God's free choice, that I will rather give Leah to show Israel, that Jacob, Israel, that look, this is my plan. though you worked very hard for this wife, and you will work hard for the second wife, but it's still my plan. This one will have many children, and this one will struggle to have kids. It was God's grace that Rachel had kids. But in actual fact, to compensate for the lack of love she has in her marriage, God had to give her children and not the other one, to balance and also strike both of them with humility. And I like to believe there are many people that are experiencing this gospel for grandparents, all the listeners that are listening to this show right now, that many people that are struggling with these blended family issues, they're struggling with not feeling unloved, not even in a blended setup. You are born by the same mother, but somewhere, somehow, the other one is loved apart from the other one. It always happens. But we forget at times that if we are all, think about it in this way. If God had favorites, there wouldn't be certain nationalities or certain people in this world, to be fair, to be honest. If God had favorites. If you take the characteristic of God, then you would know that you shouldn't have favorites in the first place. So what we are saying here is that there shouldn't have been favoritism. And if favoritism hadn't existed, there wouldn't have been the jealousy that we see currently in this very, very same Bible. In other words, Joseph wouldn't probably haven't been sold out. You know, there wouldn't be certain lies. You know, there wouldn't be certain things that were happening. So we now know that had the mind of the purest of the Holy Spirit, the pureness of God, being embedded in the minds of the people that we see in the story, there wouldn't be things that are like this. But can I ask you something?
Yes.
So Joseph was the slave to Potiphar, right? Yet in both these constraints, and I think you spoke about it, yet in both these constrained places of purpose, he excelled and bought glory so that he can be served, right? And remember, he was a dreamer. He understood the gift of understanding dreams to a point where not only did he see, he was able to interpret. That's a blessing from God. It's a really blessing from God. Imagine dreaming, going to that shop and buying those shoes and waking up and being able to interpret it. Because the first thing that you do when you wake up, you're like, I'm going to buy those shoes. God is going to bless me. And you see yourself walking on the street. But with Joseph, he sees beyond what you see. He sees that this is a figurative, it's a figure of speech to define this. Shoes means the journey. You are embarking into a new journey of your life, new shoes. So that's how he would interpret it, while you see it as blank as it is. Now we're saying, please share the qualities that made him succeed. Just share with us the qualities that you think made him succeed as a young man who was in prison and he had to live up to certain standards and overcome being seduced by the other wife, being seduced by her. But God really had favor on him. So tell me, what do you think are the qualities that made him succeed?
Okay, but before we talk on the qualities, I just want to give confirmation to the question you asked earlier. You asked, was his interpretation of his dream to his brothers a dream of sheaves or a dream of people? You've just answered it in your question now when you said that he could interpret dreams. So it's clear, right? His dream was exactly what he was going to see in the future because he had the ability to interpret. I believe that the qualities that he had was one of... he was a visionary, and that is why he got excited when he saw what the future was going to be and shared it with his family, because I am a visionary. And when there's a dream in me, I bring the energy out by sharing it with my loved ones so that they can help me and propel me into that. So a visionary shares their vision, not for bragging, but to help them, you know, with their energy and excitement. So he was a visionary. Secondly, I believe that visionary is the one that gave him the energy and the positivity in both prison as well as at Potiphar's house, being a prisoner and a slave, to be able to excel. Because you and I know, when you have got no passion and you're not a dreamer, you are not going to be in slavery and produce. So he was a visionary and a dreamer, which motivated him in even in the most dangerous places to be able to excel. He had integrity. Therefore, in prison and in Potiphar's house, they could entrust him to lead. I mean, with leadership comes accountability. In prison, the warden says, I don't give attention to him. I'm letting him look after certain things. How do you give a prisoner lead and you ignore them to lead? Because their leadership can create chaos and they can a war. So he obviously was a man of integrity. He was a man of honesty. He was a man of truth that I could say, hey, you're a prisoner, but you go lead. I don't know. But I mean, I'm not going to get a thief to lead my company. They'll steal my money. Do you That's understand? True. So to be able to put him, and it says that he was in the king's prison. So to be in a king's prison, you have to have high level authority and very strict rules in place. Yet they gave him the ability to lead. And then he also had the fear of the Lord, in that he honored the position, I mean, the places that he was placed in, and would not tolerate sin. In terms of when Potiphar's wife came to lure him, he ran. Only the fear of the Lord makes you run from sin. Do you understand? So he had character. And that is why I argue that I don't think he was immature when he came in. Because to be able to get into that place, take in leadership, take in accountability, take in that role that he did, one had to be at maturity. And I think I myself made the mistake when I was younger to think that he was bragging and boasting, but he was just a visionary that God told him the future. And because that is his family, he expected to share it with him, because he was trying to say, in the future, I'm going to help you, because he interpreted dreams. So he knew in the future, I'm helping you. He saw the future that, hey, listen, things are going to happen bad here, but I'm going ahead to help you. That was his future. That is why the Bible says that Jacob said to him, are you telling me that your mom and I are going to bow to you? Later on in the chapter verse, it says that Jacob kept it in his mind.
Yes.
Yeah?
Yes.
A father knows. A father knows.
Yes.
So, Holy Spirit, remember when the two angels came and visited Abraham? That was when God revealed his plan to his people. He says, Abraham, my friend, how can I hide from you? And then he says, I will tell you what will happen to Sodom and Gomorrah. That's when Abraham started negotiating with him, that can you save at least one? If can you save, you know, he tried to negotiate with God. But this was something else that he showed him as well. He says, I will show you 520 years or something like that, years to come, what will happen to the descendants that I have given you? And then he says there will be slaves, but then they will be saved. But he didn't explain to Abraham at that time who will save them, right? But he did say there will be slaves for this certain period of time, but then they will be saved. Now we go back to Joseph being thrown in the pit, being sold. He was one of the most expensive slaves that they had there. There was a bidding that went on and somebody won him, but he was very expensive. That's the amount of quality of a slave that he was. Now, him going to Egypt, him being an economist in Egypt, being trusted by the Egyptian as an Israelite, let's talk about two things. What God showed Abraham versus what happened in Egypt. They did bow down to him. It did happen, but not under the circumstances that they thought about. They thought he will be king and be like, oh, mighty king, oh, king of Israel. I can imagine Israel's confusion at that time that, wait, hang on. I'm like the father. We don't have kings here in this place. So which throne are you going to sit on that we now have to bow down to you? Little did they know that they will bow down to him, but not the way they thought. So there are three issues. The first one is, yes, there was jealousy because of how the family is. And then they had to sell him, right? Then there's a dream that he shared with them that caused them to be enraged. Imagine a dream. It's just a dream. It should be just a dream in actual fact. But it wasn't a dream. It was more than a vision. It was a reality of the future that there is to come. They just didn't understand it. And thirdly, they did bow down to him when they thought he was Potiphar or Pharaoh, asking for forgiveness for Benjamin. Benji. I call him Benjamin. Now, three things. Do you think even everything else that we have spoken about, it was God's plan. Because remember, he did say to Abraham that this will happen. Now, there are events that transpired that caused them to bow down. Remember, after they bowed down, they effectively lived in Egypt for a certain period of time, and that's when they became slaves. That's exactly what God told Abraham. Do you think it was God's vision? It was how God has written life so that all of us can understand, or how God wanted to show grace upon his people? Because you know how God is. I call him a good romantic. He's a romancer. If he wants you to fall in love with him, you know those Marvel superheroes, I will sweep you off my feet and I'll fly with you. That's God for you. So to show him, his people, love, do you think those events that happened as God has planned them?
Absolutely. I definitely believe that God planned it that way. It was not a mistake. I believe that God had to allow Joseph to be born in that environment where his brothers will sell him, because in the defeat, they thought they defeated him and got rid of him, but they actually propelled him for their own success in the future. Sometimes if they knew that them selling him was going to be that outcome, they would have never sold him, because they don't want him to be glorified. But God is interested in Israel. He's interested in the nation of God. And the Bible says that the shadow, the old is a shadow of the new. And when we look at Jesus, the 12 brothers, or the 11 brothers, are actually the Pharisees. The Pharisees that sold Jesus onto the cross. But until the fulfillment of time came, his brothers could never see his glory. God hid his glory. That is why immediately when he went to Potiphar's house, they saw the glory, right? It says there, Potiphar saw the glory on him, saw God in him. When he went into prison, they saw the glory. But in his own house, God concealed his glory, because he knew that if the brothers saw the glory, they will not put him into the wilderness. Remember, Jesus had to go into the wilderness. In order for Jesus to go into ministry, he had to go into wilderness. So when you look at Potiphar's, Joseph's life, the pit was the wilderness. Potiphar's house was his experience, was his ministry. Prison was his ministry. So when Jesus went into the wilderness, Joseph was in the pit. When Jesus went and did ministry, he felt like he was in prison, because everybody came against him. That was how Joseph felt in prison and Potiphar's house, until the release of time came for him to be edified so that Israel could be saved. When Joseph became prime minister of Egypt, he redeemed Israel. Because before they went into their promised land, they had to go into Egypt to become a strong nation. That's what happened. What happened with Jesus on the cross? He redeemed mankind. So absolutely, it was the plan and purpose of the Lord. Remember, the devil knew in the garden already. God told the devil, he said, a woman's seed will bruise your head. So throughout the entire time, the devil has been looking at all the firstborns to see which seed is going to bruise his head. So God had to conceal Joseph, just like how he concealed Jesus. Jesus was only revealed as Jesus, the King of the Jews, on the cross. By then, Satan thought he was defeating him, but he was not defeating him. That was victory. And so same with Joseph. When in his own family, he could not be revealed. He was revealed to the unbelievers. And only at the right time, he was revealed to his siblings.
Yeah.
So I believe that he had to be concealed for the purposes and the will of God to be done. Because Satan, if you upfront tell who you are and reveal who you are, or God reveals who you are, you're in trouble. So
yeah.
God allowed a messed up family to make Joseph look like he's a naughty, tittle-tailed, naive child, just so the devil will never think that he's the child. Because no way is Israel going to get a child from Leah. He has to get a child from Rachel to be the chosen one. So God concealed even Jesus in the tribe of Judah from Leah. So I don't believe. And so treating him bad for the devil was good, because
he
cannot be the chosen one. And if he is, he's in the pit. So, and he's in prison. So no danger.
Oh, wow. This power in the story of Joseph. You know why, Angelina? Because there's an element of forgiveness. There's an element of forgiveness. A lot of people like saying that, in fact, this is what my spiritual father taught me, that there's an offender and there's a one who's offended. Even if the one who's offended forgives you and forgets, it's hard for the offender to believe that you have forgiven them. It's always the case. And you now have to compensate to that person, trying to get reassurance from them that you have been forgiven. And that it comes to similarly to when a person has sinned. God will say, I've forgiven you, your sins are no more. But you still remember. It's like a scar after you get hurt. There's something that reminds you about something that you did or something that happened in your life. And sometimes some people believe that they have not been forgiven. What makes me say this is Genesis 50, when after Israel has passed, now Joseph has to come back and reassure his brothers. Remember, Joseph loved his brothers. 1 Corinthians 13, God is love. I like to believe a lot of people speak about 1 Corinthians 13. Some of them even have it on tattoos, as I've seen. Now, he had to reassure his brother that even though our father has passed, doesn't mean I will chase you away and say, leave Egypt. I'm the king of this place. It didn't happen like that. So the brothers struggled to believe that Joseph actually forgiven them. Why do you think it's the case?
I think because their own hearts, they knew what they did. And because their hearts were not right, they didn't believe that he had integrity of heart. And maybe they couldn't forgive themselves. That's why they didn't want to accept what he did.
Yes, yes. Gospel for Grampians, our beautiful youth, everyone else that's listening, it's important for you to know that even if God says to you, you are forgiven, you're forgiven indeed. Because remember, we don't live in condemnation. Not at all. When you condemn yourself, reminding yourself of that sin, let me tell you what's going to happen. You're more likely to commit it again because you don't believe that God has forgiven you. Now, it was difficult for brothers to believe. It really was difficult for the brothers to believe that Joseph has forgiven them because they think, you know, that thing that I want to know, when is he going to strike again? Like, is he going to strike? Plus now he's in the position of power. Yeah? He might strike me while I'm sleeping. And the next thing you know, I'm being chased away. There I am, you know, high and dry with my clothes outside. And you can't even enjoy the moment of grace that God gave you. You can't even enjoy the place that God has put you in. Right now, you're sleeping in a nice bed. You know, you are being served as well, as opposed to you serving. Yes, you still have your flock, your wealth, and you're still living in a nice place. You're having many kids, but in your mind, you still cannot accept that you have been forgiven. Youth, let's believe in the power of forgiveness. Let's remember the prayer of our Father. Forgive me as I have forgiven others. Now, the same way, remember, you free yourself when you forgive others. Free yourself by believing that you are forgiven as well. Even if you ask for forgiveness from God or from anyone else or from your parents, because you know yourselves. You make your parents angry a lot of times and you know it. Always ask for forgiveness and believe that you're forgiven. Because there's danger in not believing that you're forgiven. You are more likely to repeat the same mistake again. Sure. I am excited. You know, I love talking about Joseph so much. I love talking about the transition, the journey that he was in, you know, to a point where I even have videos, believe it or not. I have videos, many videos from different people about the story of Joseph because I like watching it in many angles. For me, it's like a movie with different cameras. You know, the one is on the left, the other one is on the right, the other one is on top. And, you know, and I watch the story play out and I'm like, oh, Joseph, 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 Joseph. Now tell me, Angelina, when you came up with this topic, what did God place in your spirit?
So Joseph is a typical young adult. He has an experience at 17 and he becomes prime minister at 30. Now, we are, our Yellow on Air crew is directed for youth, 15 to 35. There's no better person in the Word of God to describe the challenges that youth go through between the ages of 15 and 35 than Joseph. And when you look at the dispensation that we are living in right now, youth have been given opportunities at an early age to be leaders, to be able to make a social footprint for themselves in society. And if you want to be a young leader in this dynamic era that we're living in, then a good place to start is by using a person like Joseph as a mentor on what worked and what didn't work. And by using that kind of guidelines, you will be able to understand that you too will go through challenges, like James 1:24 says, brethren, count it all joy when you go through all of these issues. But through that, faith, patience produces faith. And so youth are asking at this time and age, I want opportunity. I want to be able to be heard. I want to be able to make a difference. Can I be part of the decision making? And so I'm saying, if you want to be part of all of that, then you need to go read up what accountability, what good character, and what responsibility is. And Joseph is that person. He is that person, because you see, from the age of 17 up until the age of 30, that the only people, come on, let's be real, the only people that had a problem with him about his thought that he's boasting and bragging was the people that didn't like him. Now, if you, out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks, if he was a bragger and a boaster, I don't think the Lord would be with him. The glory cannot shine in pride. So we can agree that when he went at 17 into slavery, into Potiphar's house, he had good character. If he had bad character, he wouldn't flee from sin. He would entertain sin. So for our youth out there, I believe when the Lord asked me to present this message to Masekhu and the team, it was for you youth to understand that God wants to work with you. In the Bible, he uses King Josiah, who was a youth. Many of the kings were a youth. Even Solomon was a youth. And what did they do? Lord, I am too young. You need to help me. They understood that it is not by power, not by might, but by the Spirit of the living God. So we are saying to the youth, you are calling out, you want to be a voice, you want to be have an influence. Then you need to get good mentors. And Joseph is an excellent mentor to tell you that you can be a prime minister, you can be a president, you can be a CEO at the age of 30. If you are willing to submit to the process. And, you know, you ask the question, you know, how can he forgive? He had to go through the integrity test. I forgive you, and I mean I forgive you. Because you just said just now, his brothers were, when he first said it, they were reluctant and they stood there. They didn't believe it. You're quite right. Then he went back and said, no, I'm really Joseph. Don't worry, I've forgiven you. Because they were reluctant because, like you said, he was going to come back and shoot at them. But he had to go through the integrity test. So that when he does say, dad or brothers, I forgive you, I mean it from my heart. You know he was hurting, because when he saw his brothers, what did he do? He left the room. He screamed extremely loud because he was hurting. He was broken. His brothers. He remembered the pain, but he screamed it out and let go of it and went back and said, hey, listen, I forgive you. And what I love about that story is he's being real. He's not being an AI creation to say, hey, listen, I forgive you, but I don't. Because if he didn't, you wouldn't have seen that expression of crying that the whole of Israel heard him. The whole of Egypt, all the leaders and even Pharaoh's house heard him. So he was in pain. So I want to encourage our youth out there. Listen, you are complaining and you're saying life is bad and things are not good. I want you to know, do what Joseph did. He turned his prison into a place of purpose. He turned Potiphar's house into a place of experience and building character. He took what was bad and turned it into something good. And in the end, it qualified him for something. Who gives a prisoner prime minister role? There's only one in the world that got that opportunity, and that was Nelson Mandela. And do you know what President Nelson Mandela said at the end? He said, if I didn't forgive, I would have still been a prisoner even if I got out.
True.
That, I believe, is what happened to Joseph.
True. You speak about the qualities and characteristics of a good leader. And you also speak about that the youth of today needs to go back and look into the life of Joseph. Now, let's teach our youth, because youth believe that for you to be a leader, you must be 88 years old and be like Nelson Mandela, or you need to be 79 years old, or you need to be older. What they don't know is that you can be a leader at any level that God chooses you to be in. I mean, even when it comes to Jeremiah, he was young, and he says, I'm young. What am I going to say to them? He says, no, just go. I'll speak through you. Just go. I'll speak through you. And he started showing Jeremiah visions. What do you see? A branch of an almond tree. What do you see? You know, what do you see? Then Jeremiah would say, okay, yes, that means you will go there and I'll speak through you. But there are a lot of people, there are a lot of youth members that are even scared. They're afraid. They don't want to be, they don't want to take leadership roles for many reasons. One of them, they think that they are never going to enjoy their lives. They are never going to do anything that is good for them. What they don't realize is anything that is in God is enjoyed in God, not outside. Anything that is enjoyed outside God is not anything that is given by God. And they don't know that. Now, let's tell the leaders, let's tell our youth today, the qualities of a good leader. Let's just try and name them and just brainstorm. What are the qualities of a good leader? It's directly related to what we spoke about, which is Joseph. Oh, by the way, before we can even get there, I like Googling names, you know, Google Mr. and Mrs. Know-it-all. And I had to go and Google, what is Joseph? What does the word Joseph mean? Because I wanted to understand, why did Israel give Joseph this name, Joseph? And the name means, it's actually Y-O-S-E-F, which is Joseph. And it's Hebrew, and it means Jehovah shall add. Meaning that after Joseph, he believed there'll be another one. And Joseph being there was a blessing to him. In other words, he didn't say, he's my first child. He said, he is adding to what I already have. And not only that, I have a hope and faith that he will add again. Hence, Benjamin came through. You know, Benji. Yeah, that's the name that I always, every time when I read about him, I'm like, Benji. The Lord shall add. So if the Lord shall add, let's add and edify the leaders and the youth leaders. I'm going to call them leaders today. Those that are listening in any age, let's tell them, based on what we have read about Joseph, what we've spoken about for the past few minutes, what are the qualities of a good leader?
I'm going to start with the first one, right? And that is, you need to embrace your father's love. When I look at the life of Joseph and I look at the life of Jesus, before they went out into their place of purpose, they heard their fathers. They knew they were their daddy's favorite, because Jesus, the father, said, this is my beloved son in whom I'm well pleased. And then when we look at the life of our Joseph, he knew he was daddy's favorite. When you embrace Abba Father's love, you accept who you are, you know who you are, and therefore you can walk in who you are. To be a leader, you cannot walk in someone else's shoes. You cannot have the tenacity to do what God has called you to do. You cannot have the braveness like Joseph, who knew his brothers hated him, yet was able to tell them the prophetic utterance of what was going to happen in the future. He operated in his gift amongst his brothers. You and I know, Masecho, try using your gift on your loved ones that are your family. It is difficult, because they will look at you, because they're familiar with you, they'll think, yeah, right, what is she talking? And now imagine you've got a blended family where they hate you and they're jealous of you. And you have that in many Christian circles. God gives you a gift and everybody that are your sisters and brothers in the church hate you. So if you don't know that you are the beloved of the Father, you're going to conform to someone else's opinion and they're going to let your light die. So the first thing I would say as a leader is embrace Abba Father's love. You know, they say that South Africa has got an orphan spirit because there's many, many, parents that have passed on. And I'm saying, no, Daddy, Abba Father. Because even children who have parents now, are missing the parents' love because of life and because of busyness, which you all spoke about a week or 2 weeks ago. So first and foremost, youth, know Father God for yourself. Because when you walk in the perfect will of God, you're going to be thrown into the pit, you're going to be thrown into the prison, you're going to be thrown into circumstances and challenges that God's going to use to develop your character. But and in those character places, you only have you and God. So Daddy is with you wherever you go. So love God so you can love yourself. And in that way, wherever you lead, you will lead with boldness and confidence and not question your leadership.
In actual fact, loving God is the first step of being a great leader, because there are certain qualities that will come with this love of God and fear of God as well. The first one is the integrity. You need integrity, and integrity cannot come, it's not natural. It's not like you can grow it or pick it up from a tree or find it in your wallet someday and like, I'm wearing it today and not tomorrow. That's not what integrity is. Integrity is one of the characteristics of God, and it takes confidence for you to have it. For you to have integrity, you must rely on something. And when you rely and believe in God that He's the one that placed you here, then that means that integrity will be in you forever. Because integrity will be tested all the time. First of all, it will be tested with money given to you, be tested with women, name it, fame, fortune, TikTok followers, Instagram followers, YouTube followers, brandings. You know, here's 60,000 rands. We want you to just post there, being naked for the whole world to see. We'll give you 10 million rands. Integrity will be tested. But when your values are rooted in your belief and your faith in the Almighty God, and also the fact that Jesus Christ died for your sins. You know, there are certain people, they say, oh, no, we believe in God, but we don't believe in Jesus Christ. Mm-mm. God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. You can't have one without the other, unfortunately. So now, it will be tested. You'll be given money. You'll be given, you know, it happens. Pose with the car so that everybody can follow you on Instagram. Okay, let's go to ministry. You will be tested with somebody giving you 10 million and says, I want you to speak good about my business, while you know for a fact that business has failed. To show you that integrity itself can be tested in many angles, in many places possible. Even faithfulness is tested as well. Otherwise, we wouldn't have a book of Job. If faithfulness was not tested, we wouldn't have the book of Job. So you will have that. You will have the fear of God and confidence. Confidence, I always define confidence in this way. Confidence is not a word that you can throw around. For you to be confident, you need an anchor, because you know you won't sink. And if something is shaking your confidence, it means that chances are you don't know what your anchor is, or you don't know where your anchor is, or you don't have an anchor. Now, for you to be confident when you have an anchor, you can float easily. You know you're not going to sink. You know that for a fact. Now, when you have confidence in God, even if things go wrong, because confidence helps you answer this question, even if, they say, get inside a car and drive. You are afraid to drive. But your confidence says, even if I'm not driving well, I know God's angels are on my wheels, my eyes, my dashboard. That means I'm protected. It answers the even if. Because remember, where there is fear, there's always doubt. And that doubt, it says, the worst can happen. Confidence challenges that worst that can happen. Oh, you will die. That's the worst fear that every man on earth fears. Then you come back and you say, oh, that's okay. It's not like Jesus Christ didn't rise from the dead. He rose from the dead. What makes you think the same won't happen to me? Do your worst when I'm the devil. Do your worst way, now, Mr. Devil. Just do it. Let's see. You know, we want to see it. So when you are confident, your anchor is in your faith and it's in Christ. And I'm telling you today, unless if you know what your anchor is and you always fan it into flame, then you will be confident. But there's a flip side of it. There are people that are confident because of themselves. The anchor, according to them, is themselves. They forget, they fade away. They do. God says the food is for the stomach and the stomach is for the food, but God will destroy them both. In other words, you dream about that chocolate cake you've been wanting to eat, and you're like, hey man, the stomach. To a point where when you look at it on the table, you're like, the food for the stomach and the stomach for the food. But you forget, God will destroy them both, meaning that you and your efforts And everything that you have faith in, that is all about you, God will destroy. That you must just know. So when you have confidence, always check, where is it coming from? Because that's when we will know whether or not you're humble. And humility is not an act. Humility is a state of heart and a state of mind, meaning that you know that I'm doing this not because I can, but because it's by the grace of God. Then it will help you. So even when God says, don't do this or do this, you obey, you do it. Let's not put on fake humility. You know, fake humility. Oh, my sister, you know, God loves you. Like, you are humble. Let's give her a round of applause. She's humble. It's a lie. Because the state, your heart. You know how when people get in an argument or something happens and someone says, it doesn't matter. I know God knows my heart. You're right. God does know your heart. Even in your statement, God knows your heart. There, you are 100% correct. In fact, you are a prophet, my sister, because you just told us the word of God. You are right. You are 100% right. So, fellow listeners, this was a very thought-provoking topic. A lot was discussed. I always say this. Once you hear something, go and meditate. The thing about a meditation, it takes information. It processes it in a way that it will fit in properly in your life. Not only did you hear it, but it becomes part of you as well. So it's not a seed that fell on the ground, on the soil that is not fruitful, but it becomes a seed that goes on the ground, on a soil that knows that that seed, before it can produce roots, it must die first. So you know, meditation does that to the things that you hear. So we spoke about Joseph. We spoke about the leadership qualities he had. We spoke about the love and the jealousy the brothers had, to a point where the jealousy had led his brothers to put him in a pit. I always wondered, in fact, I always think about this all the time, that what was in Joseph's mind when he was in that pit? Like, what was in his mind? What? I always think about it all the time. I can imagine the pit wasn't nice. It's not like he was thrown in a pit and there was Netflix, then he was chilling, waiting for somebody to take him out. No. Imagine all the emotions he experienced when he was in there. Imagine the fear he experienced. You know, when you don't know what's going to happen to you, that was him. He did not know what was going to happen to him. We don't know what was also in the pit with him. There could have been snakes. There could have been anything, things that he's afraid of. We don't know. So in meaning that his humanity was challenged, because all the things that human experiences, like fear, you know, doubt, and probably hatred, feel of betrayal, all those things, they happened to him. So when we think about the pit, I know there are a lot of pastors that would speak about this, that books, you can name it, seminars about the pit. I want you today to think about it yourself. In that case, the same way you would think about Daniel when they were thrown in the fire, in the lion's den, the same way you would meditate about it, where God has actually made the forces of nature bow down to the God in them. Imagine what was happening to Joseph at that time. Think about it. So thank you so much, Angelina. Are there any parting words that you would like our listeners, beautiful listeners?
Yes, you asked the question, what are the qualities should we highlight to them around leadership? And I love the fact that we both spoke only about God, because in Christ we live, move, and have our being. And to be the best leader, we're going to have to be in Christ. There is no other recipe. You know, when Jesus came on the earth, he gave up his deity and became 100% human on the earth. And everything he did, he associated it to the leader, Father God. He said, I only say what the Father tells me to say. I only do what I see the Father do. And that was the recipe for him for those 3 years to be so successful. And I'm talking to the youth today, and I want you youth to understand, when the account of Jesus was written by four different witnesses, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, four different people wrote the life about Jesus. God strategically put four different eyewitnesses who knew Christ to write about his account, to tell us the life of Jesus from different perspectives. And Jesus left his home in heaven, his deity, and became a human like us. And the reason he was so successful was he was in the Father, because even Philip asked him, you know, show us the Father. He said, if you see me, you see the Father. There's oneness. If we are one with the Father, which is what Jesus paid the price for on the cross, so that we can be reunited with God. If we're one with God, Masecho, we will be dynamic leaders like Jesus, because Jesus said, greater works will we do. So I want the youth not to wait to be 80 and 70 and 60 and 50 and 40 to start waking up to the truth. Joseph woke up to the truth 500, 600 years before Jesus came, because he was a shadow of the Jesus that was going to come in the future. And he succeeded through all the tribulations because he allowed himself to be immersed in the glory of God. Joseph walked in the presence of the Lord. How else you saw glory on him? Because for an unbeliever like Pharaoh and for an unbeliever like Potiphar to see God in him, the Bible says they saw God in him. So that means he walked with God. Therefore, he could sustain the pit. He could sustain the prison. And he was able to interpret his dreams. And the minute he interpreted it, he was able to be that great economist. His secret was God. That's all. The whole journey there was the glory of God on him. Everybody who saw him saw glory. Only the haters and the jealousies saw something else. So if our youth choose to walk with God and have a relationship with the Lord Masecha, I believe that there will be a Joseph of this generation and a Joshua of this generation, taking the next generation where God wants them to go.
Wow, wow. Gospel for Grampian listeners, I suggest you go back and read the story of Joseph. Read it up until the last chapter of Genesis. Go read it. Go and meditate upon it and make sure that it becomes part of your life. We have seen it. It was evidence, a proper display of what is required of us from God through the life of Joseph. Proper display. We couldn't say it any better than how the Holy Spirit has defined it upon us. Now, before we can close, I'm Masego Malapile. I go by Coach MTJ, and I'm a confidence and I'm a communication and a speaking coach. If you would like our services, call us on 064-817-6806. It's actually +27648176806. That's where you will contact us. And I think you've heard in one of the segments when I spoke about confidence, why is it that you're not confident? Because we want to dig deep into what's causing you not to become the great speaker or to be as eloquent as you would like to be. Because that's where you want, or that's where you see yourself. But something is a stumbling block. And what is that thing? Through the teachings that God has taught us today and will teach us even in further episodes, we are going to dig deep into them while we speak to you, helping you to become the eloquent communicator and an eloquent speaker as well. So thank you so much for joining Gospel for Grampians. Thank you so much for listening. Thank you so much for listening to God, enabling you to tune in and actually listen to us. So you there, yes, you. Don't look on the other side. I say you. There in your country, be it Chile, Uruguay, Brazil, whatever country that you're in, Congo, whatever country that you are in, I'd like to say thank you for watching. Before we can close off, I'm pretty sure you are aware of many wars that are happening in the country and the world currently. There's a war that's happening in Gaza. It's horrific things that are happening there. Please, when you pray, place it as your prayer point. Intercede for the countries. Intercede for the people. So thank you so much. Have a lovely evening, and let the mighty warrior, the God himself, the Messiah, the one who will bless you exceedingly abundantly above all that you can imagine, bless you today and bless your ears. Hallelujah. Amen. Thank you for tuning in, and bye.